Blessed be God. I wish you all God's grace and peace and blessing this morning. Thank you for calling in. I have been richly blessed this morning just in taking in the message last evening and just meditating on the Lord, and then getting up early this morning and just meditating on this, the next, we might say the next point here in God's divine design for the home. And I realize that I'm doing this in little short sections, you know, trying to kind of crowd it in a way. So I'm going to take just little steps at a time. I know that I'm not thoroughly covering this like many teachers do. I'd like to just get some basic pointers and not exhaust the subject by any means. But I would like to just stir up our hearts. And even myself, as I'm looking at this and studying this, it's been a real blessing to just look at these things. As we've been going through the God's divine design for the home, and I talked last Saturday, we talked about a parent, God's desire for a child-parent relationship, and we talked about the Word of God. I left you all with this challenge: do you have your child's heart? Go after it. It is God's will that you have your child's heart. And this morning I would like to just take more of a look at it this way, and I'd like to just lay some groundwork. I titled my subject this morning, Some Groundwork in Going After the Heart of Your Child. And it reflects back again, for those who didn't hear last Saturday's message, to the Word of God in the last two verses of the Old Testament. Before 400 silent years, God said these words through the prophet Malachi in the last two verses: "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." And I think this is, again, the heart of God in realizing that this is something that has largely been lost among mankind, this father and son relationship, and God saw that. And as I meditated on it this morning, you know, well, maybe I'll turn to that a little bit later. Why was that God's heart? And I thought about that this morning. But this morning, you know, you might be saying, how do I get my child's heart? I'm not a teacher. I'm not a leader. I don't know how to do these things. And that's something that I faced in life. Well, why don't we just take time for a word of prayer before we go on and into the word here. So let's pray. Father in heaven, our dependence is on you this morning. We exalt your name. We praise you. We want to lift up high and holy the name of our God, of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for being our God. We thank you for calling us and drawing us into yourself. Your word clearly tells us that no man comes unto the Father but by me, through Jesus Christ, and no one comes to the Father except the Father draw him. And we realize this, we recognize that drawing, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you. For we know that we are not able of our own selves to come up with those things that we need for this life's journey. And you so thoroughly fill all those spots in our lives as we give ourselves to you. And I just want to praise you, thank you for that. And now this morning we come to you, Father, in the name of Jesus, and we say, Lord, will you somehow just take this next half hour to just again show us your heart. And I pray, oh God, that nothing would be said here in this teaching that would be contrary to your perfect will. I pray that you would just take it out of my mind. If there's any such thing that would seek to come forth that would not come forth truly from the Spirit of God, I give myself to you, Lord, and I pray, would you use me for this? I don't have it within myself, but I must depend on you, Lord, and I want to do this with all my heart. And I just praise you and thank you, Lord. I pray for your blessing upon each listener this morning, upon all of those that will listen in later on. God, will you move in their hearts? We want to seek after you. This is not about just some man's teaching. Don't let that enter into the hearts of men at all. But, Lord, may it be that which draws our hearts to the living God and into searching the Word whether these things be true, and into seeking after the heart of God, after you, Father, so that we may find truth and walk therein. Let me, Lord, just be a vessel, as the songwriter gives it, channels only. Channels only. May we just be channels for you to channel your grace and your love through to reach the hearts of men, that we may be out of the way, but just that channel, that where men seek you, they seek the face of God and have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we commit ourselves to you this morning, Lord, in that way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, again, you might be saying this morning, how do I get my child's heart? And you know, the enemy wants to make us believe that we don't have what it takes. And in reality, we don't. But there's something I'd like to just impress upon our hearts this morning, that we would understand that, you know, for every one of you, and I don't know who you are that are listening in this morning, I don't know, but I would like to just have all of us realize that if you are a married man this morning, if you are a father of children, I'd just like to encourage you this morning that the day that you took that young lady's hand into yours in marriage, you became a leader, whether you knew it or not. The day that God put that precious little bundle into you and your wife's hands, you, Papa, and you, Mama, became teachers, whether we realize it or not. You see, it is God's heart that we teach our children. And it is our God-given responsibility. We are accountable for the direction of our children. These are gifts that have been given to us to train up for His glory and for His service. We are accountable. We will have to give an answer someday before a holy God. And God never gives us a responsibility or an accountability that He does not also give us the grace and the authority to fulfill. May this enter your heart, you listeners, in a very real way. May it re-enter my heart again this morning. The devil wants to make us believe that we just don't have it. Well, I just don't have the ability. I just don't have the gift. Or I just don't know how. And we tend to the tendency of man is to just kind of sit back in a, well, I don't know how, and think we're humble. But you know, God's calling goes beyond that. That's not humility. That's despondency. That's irresponsibility. What I want you to realize is this. It's God's grace. He will not put a child into your lap, into your hands, that He will not give you the grace to train. I'm convinced of this. And we might look at circumstances, and some circumstances look difficult, but you know what I've learned in life? That when we look at difficult circumstances, it looks like, how is that possible? How can someone go through something like that? Well, the reason that we cannot imagine it is because the grace to go through it has not been given to us because we're not going through it. But for the person that's going through it, the grace of God is always there. I used to, and I'll just briefly reflect on this, I used to think of this very much concerning a child being taken from you in death. And I used to think about that. I thought, how could a family cope with a death in the family? How could it be? How would you ever be able to handle it to have a child just suddenly taken away in eternity or into death? And well, we did experience that with our 19-year-old, and I just marveled because God's grace was there to take us through way beyond what we ever even imagined or thought. And I just want to encourage you with that. As you seek to train up a family, as you seek to go forth in life, whatever it is that you face, realize, walk in faith, realizing that as you give yourself to the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, He will give you the grace to go through any circumstance that comes your way. But the grace is in Him, not in yourself. The grace and the power and the ability must come from the Lord Jesus Christ. It must come from God. We don't have it within ourselves. So again, our dependence must be on Him. Our gaze and our focus and our hearts must be drawn to Him. As we heard last night of that beautiful scripture of stretching forth our hands unto God, because we know that He has what it takes. He knows what it takes to meet all our needs. That was the words of David in Psalm. All right, and going on here, this responsibility of teaching our children. You know, God said something very interesting about Abraham, when the angels came up there to Abraham and spoke with him there and met with him, and he got them a meal there and all this. Then it says, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? And it was when when the Lord came to talk to Abraham concerning Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot and all that, and where Abraham, you know, kept begging that he would not destroy the city if there'd be so many righteous there and all that. But something interesting here is that the premise by which God said this, he said, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. I have been so blessed with those words. You know, God looked down upon Abraham, and he knew him. I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. God selected Abraham out of all those idol worshippers, out of all those people, and he called him to go into a land that, you know, to just leave his father's land. And Abraham went, not knowing whither he went, as it tells us in Hebrews. And as he obeyed God in that way, God looked down upon Abraham and he said, I know this man. I know that he will guide and lead, and he will command his children and his household after him. What a blessing that is to hear that about a man. And I believe that God can have that very heart towards us as he looks into our lives as fathers, and he sees us, and he knows that we have a heart after him. He knows that we have a heart to obey him and to follow his will and his way regardless what. God in heaven can look down upon us and say, I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. And that's my heart's desire, and that's my encouragement to all of you this morning. Now, what I'd like to look at here is when God looked down from heaven and saw the condition of man, mainly the deterioration, I might say, of his design of the father and child relationship, and how that the fathers and the children did not have the fathers didn't have the hearts of their children. I think he saw a great deterioration in that. Why was God so burdened about this, that it was the last cry of the prophet, and it was also the first promise of becoming Elijah, the promise that he will come and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers? And it says there, lest I smite the earth with a curse. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So apparently, in the eyes of God, when there's no father-heart, a father-child heart connection thing, it's like a curse to God. And I've pondered that. And, you know, what is he saying here? And the conclusion I came to in meditating upon this is that we have to understand that God wants to have a father-child relationship with us. As his children, he made it possible for us to become the sons of God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, he wants us to have a father-son relationship with him. That's his design. And how can we have a father-son relationship with him? Or how can he, that's how he depicts or describes his relationship with man. And it says it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. Talking about Jesus coming to this earth. Now, if God wants us to have that, he wants to restore that relationship that was back in the Garden of Eden, and I believe that Adam and Eve had very much a father-son relationship with the Father before sin came into the world. We know that he wants to restore that. So, I think, as I saw this, I believe God sees it being very important. And the reason I say this is that so many times when people come to the Lord, or they can't even really come to him because they had a bad situation in their upbringing, and they have a whole wrong concept of God because of how their father was. And maybe we'll cover that here a little bit later. how can God have us understand the relationship that he wants with us if we never had it with our earthly fathers? You know, I think there's a place, if that's our case, that we sometimes, and maybe you're one of them, I don't know, maybe you had a bad relationship with your father, and now you're trying to be a father in a home, and you don't really know how, and you're just not quite sure how to go about it. I would really encourage you, go and clear up your past with your father. Even if you had an angry father, a tyrant father, doesn't matter. Maybe a very complacent, that shouldn't hinder you from going back to him and just clearing your heart of any rebellion or bitterness you had toward him, just apologizing. And I've heard testimony after testimony of fathers that have gone back, young fathers, and just told their fathers that they are very sorry for their rebellion, and they love him, and they just want to honor him, and what a blessing they received in all that. Well, that is possible to do. You know, we can work on that relationship even if our father is old. You know, my father and my mother are not living anymore, and I long for that. I long for that relationship. And I can say this, even though I was a rebel as a young boy, I know that before my father's death we had a very good relationship, and I treasure that. Even though I was a prodigal son, I cleared those things up. I came back, and I was there with my father, and at his death, I was there at his bedside when he passed away, and we had a good relationship, and I treasure that. Although we couldn't get into very deep spiritual conversations, I still feel that as far as I could, I tried to clear things up from my past. I'm not justifying myself. There may have been things that I didn't clear up, unbeknownst to me, but I sought to live out that love and respect for him. We can get those things cleared up. In Psalms 103, I'd like to read some verses. It says here about God, it says, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more." You know, our Father understands who we are. He knows that we are but dust. He knows our frame. He understands. He says, like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Now, that word pitieth in his children, I looked that word up, and in the Hebrew, that's the Hebrew word rakam. And it means a primitive root means to fondle, or it would mean to cuddle, to hold, to love. By implication, it says to love, especially to compassionate or have compassion on or upon. To love, to show mercy upon. I thought it's beautiful, that word pity there. As the Father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them. As the Lord loves and has compassion on us. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus came, he says we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. He has a feeling for our infirmities. He knows what it's like. He was tempted in all points like as we. So he has a compassionate heart toward us. In the German it says, "Wie sich ein Vater über Kinder erbarmt, so erbarmt sich der Herr über die, so ihn fürchten." Erbarmt, that word erbarmt, that means a caring passion or compassion. A caring compassion, a loving compassion. And that's how the Father does for us, as a father does for his children. So God is saying he wants a father to have that for his children, because that's the way he wants to have it for us. Now the question I have is, how can a child grasp this meaning if their earthly father doesn't love and show compassion for them? How can a child that is brought up with an angry father get a true picture of God's heart for him or for her? And you know, I've worked with those situations, and I've had to deal with some of that myself. I had a real problem for a long time with getting the idea that God is a critical father that's just looking for me to make some mistake so he can punish me. And that's such a whole wrong concept of the God that I now serve. And I just want to encourage you out there. I don't know what your upbringing was. But you know, sometimes we as fathers, especially if we're not a born-again believer, a father can look at the responsibility that he has to raise these children, and without the Spirit of God and the grace of the Lord in his life, he tends to become a little bit of a tyrant. And he can become angry when things don't... You know, what is more frustrating than when you see the responsibility that you have and the accountability to raise up a child and you see that child just defying your authority? I believe that can be very frustrating. And if you don't have the Spirit of God, if your spirit is not under the control and anointing of the Holy Spirit, if you've not been born of the Spirit of God, those things come out in frustration and anger. And that's very destructive to training children. And then there are children that grow up with these angry fathers that are almost like a tyrant that beat them in anger. And they look to the Heavenly Father later in years and they want to have a relationship with him, and all they can see is their father hovering over them with a big stick or with an angry countenance. And I'm here to plead with you, that's not the way a child should look at the Heavenly Father. Yes, he is a just God. Yes, he is a just God. And yes, he will visit the iniquities of the fathers in the second and third generation. Yes, he will do that. And he will not in any way, he will not in any way free the guiltless or that thought. He is a just God, but he's also a loving God with great compassion, with great love. And again, I say, I don't know who you are that are listening in, but maybe you feel overwhelmed and you feel you've missed it with your children. I just want to encourage you, it is not too late to regain the respect of your children. If you will but humble yourself and come to God or come to your child in brokenness and confess your failures. You know, first of all, come to God. Come and cry out to God. And then come to your children. I have found one of the, you know, the devil tries to make us think that if we acknowledge our failures to our children, they would disrespect us all the more. But I tell you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. That's a lie from the devil. That's not truth. They know our failures more than we do. We can't hide from our children. They know us much more than we think they do. They see our failures. We cannot hide from them. And they know them. You know, I just heard the testimony lately of a child whose parents always painted a pretty nice picture of their upbringing, and painted a picture that they were just pretty good. But the child started finding out things through the grapevine about their parents, the parents as they were growing up. And this child lost a lot of respect for the parents because they realized that they had been brought up in a false, brought up in falsehood. They've been brought up in other than truth. And maybe you are a parent that has to get some issues out of your life first. I don't know. I just want to encourage you that if there are things in your life, don't paint the wrong picture. I was a prodigal son. I was a rebel, and I told my children that. I told them I don't want them to go that way. I don't want them to suffer the things that I had to suffer to get all these things out of my life. I don't want them to go that way. I want them to see me for who I am. I want them to see me for who I was. I want them to know the grace of God in my life. I want them to know what God has done for me. I don't want to pull any wool over their eyes at all. I want them to see the truth and that they can trust me that I'm telling them the truth. Because how can they ever depend on a Heavenly Father when they grow older to be truthful to them if their earthly father is not truthful with them? You know, the way that they will look at their father is oftentimes the way they look at their Heavenly Father. And there are some people coming along in life that want to serve the Lord, but they have a very, very warped view of a father, and of God. I just want to encourage you this morning, if you have some issues in your life, you may need to deal with them first. You need to deal with some of those things. If you have some unrepented sin in your life, or some issues back there that you just... you never want to talk about, and you've never talked to anyone about, I would encourage you, go get some help. Get that thing out of your life. You won't be able to lead your children in peace and freedom if there's hidden things in your life back there. Some old things that you just threw in a corner and you hope no one would ever see. You know, in your heart, and in your heart, back in a room, in a closet, maybe you've hid those horrible sins, and you just put them back there and you don't want to think about them. I encourage you, get them out of there. Get them out and deal with them. Put them under the blood of Jesus so you can be free. You can't teach your children in the way of freedom if you don't have freedom. In the way of peace if you don't have peace. Clean out those closets. You know, you cannot, maybe I should just put it this way, maybe you need to be born again. I don't know who you are that's listening in. You know, you can't teach your child the ways of God if you don't have the Spirit of God in your own life. And please, I want you to understand, I'm not speaking here about one that has it all together and has reached all those places. I have much to learn yet. My dependence must be on God. I don't have it all together. I'm very thankful for what the Lord has done, but I don't have it all together, and I don't want you to think I am. God forbid that I should in any way teach in a boastful way. That's not my heart at all. I want to teach in an encouraging way. I want to give you an encouragement, a positive looking forward with anticipation to raise those children, because it is possible that you can raise them for the glory of God, and it's possible to do it in joy. But it must be in Christ Jesus. It can't be by your own program. One of the things that I would like to touch on this morning, and like I said, I'm just laying some groundwork for going after the heart of your child. And these are things I know I'm only scratching the surface, and I see my time's almost up already. But one of the most essential things is this. You and your spouse must be one. The day you gave your hands together in marriage, you became one flesh. You better be one in heart when it comes to training up children. If you don't have that, I would encourage you to pursue that. Pursue it. Get some help. You and your wife need to be one. Or you, wife, and your husband, you need to be one. You need to have, I tell you, one of the most difficult things for each other is to give their heart to parents who have conflicting views. This makes them very insecure, and they really cannot entrust the direction of their lives to the parents if they are getting conflicting messages. I believe this is one of the most essential elements in getting or having your child's heart. I really believe it is. I don't profess to be some big counselor, but I have done a lot of marriage counseling or family counseling through the years, where people were having struggles with their children and children weren't responding properly, and it just never failed. When there was a problem with the children, it usually came back to a problem between husband and wife. And oh, I'd just like to plead with you, get this thing straight. And I'd like to give you a real quick little thing here of something we experienced a few times in this. And I'm not sure if I've shared this before, and if I have, bear with me. I tend to repeat myself and forget what I shared earlier, so bear with me. I'm a little one-track minded at times and don't remember things very well, but bear with me. But I don't think I'll ever forget it as long as I have a sound mind. It was a few times in our married life, I think it was twice that I remember, that a situation came up where I, as a father, had made a certain decision based on a situation that I was not seeing quite clear, but I had made a decision for a child, and this child was older, in the teens, one of our sons, and as I had taken a stand on what direction this needs to go, my wife realized that I'm not seeing it quite the way it was, and in the presence of the child, started kind of siding with the child and saying and telling me, well, I'm not seeing it quite right. And right in the midst of that whole thing, the child just said, Mom, stand with Dad. I'd rather have you standing with Dad and him not, and being one in this, even if he's not seeing it right, than to have you on a different page than he. He said, this makes me insecure. Stand with him. That gives me the security of a mom and dad to stand together. And I can't remember all the words, but I tell you, that so blessed me just to realize how they look at that. And I, in my counseling times, I have found many times that there are fathers out there that have made a lot of mistakes. But the mother, the wife, and vice versa, that, you know, there are parents that have made grave mistakes, but the parents stood together and those children came out right. They had security in their lives, and they were able to train up those children in the right way. There are others where I've observed that the fathers made some mistakes, but not that serious, and it seems every one of the children went astray. But it was because, and I think it was because, as I counseled with this family, the mother was constantly picking apart the faults of the father. Oh, I tell you this is so essential. This is so important. So I just want to encourage you with that this morning. I want to close this morning with those thoughts. This is just some groundwork. Maybe you already have your child's hearts. God bless you if you do. Take this then as an encouragement. Maybe you already have a good relationship with, maybe you and your wife are already one. Well, praise God. That's a delight to me. But if you don't give up. There's hope. Seek the Lord with sincerity and He will hear your cry. He will hear your heart. I tell you, there's more, there's just some things I'd like to share in a later message here, little tips and maybe do's and don'ts. There's just some things that I've learned through life that you just don't do in training children, and I don't have a mirror all together. I don't feel like I have it together, but just some things that I've learned and things, kind of do's and don'ts, and then also a tract that I want to share with you, or writing, I might say, a pamphlet that my wife and I read that was just a tremendous blessing to us, and I would like to just share that with you also, and so I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to press on, and if you have some questions, if you feel like you're overwhelmed in this thing, let pride keep you from just seeking some help. Because it is possible, and training up children can be a delight. I tell you, it's such a blessing. Yeah, there's times and there's heaviness, there's tears, and there's praying and crying out to God for the certain direction of certain children. We've gone through that, and we still go through it. But oh, what a reward to see one after another turn to the Lord to serve Him with all their heart. And I just want to encourage you. We don't have to go down the road of despair in training up children. And so I want, like I said, this is laying some groundwork. I'd like to later on go on into maybe some of the more practical applications in child training and going after the heart of our children. God bless each one of you. I'll turn the time over to our moderator. And again, I want to say, if there's anything here that you have questions about, feel free to give me a call. Most times I will take calls on my cell phone, but feel free to do that. My cell phone number is 717-606-6357. I have no desire to teach anything that is not scriptural, so please bring it to my attention if there's anything that's not according to the Word of God. God bless you all, and I'll turn the time over to Brother Don.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. To return to the main menu, press 0. You may leave us a message by pressing 099. Or, if you would rather speak to us in person, you may call us on our cell phones. For Mose, dial 717-656-9576. For Don, dial 717-606-2811. For Jeff, dial 423-618-9491. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 088. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 077. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.